can feel it down in my plums. When I hear a sound, I rap at the door, my young son Gabriel walks in. My wife says, no, Gabriel, leave. I said, no, let the boy watch. Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father. The way he learned from his father. Let the boy watch. The way he learned from his father.
Welcome back to Let the Boys Watch, an entertainment podcast brought to you by Going Gray Productions. And on this week's episode, it was SNL Week, Funny Edition. And the winner of SNL Week, Funny Edition, was a 1983 comedy, Trading Spaces. Fuck off. Fuck off. Jesus Christ. Trading Places. Trading Places was written by Timothy Harris and Herschel Weingrad, directed by John Landis. Trading Places stars Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, Ralph Bellamy, Don Ameche, Denholm Elliott, and Jamie Lee Curtis. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Robbie. And alongside me is the cousin Benny. Looking good, cuz.
Feeling good, cuz. How are you today?
Oh, please. It has been a doozy. Okay. It's been a little doozy, right? Technical difficulties. Can't speak. Can't think. But hey.
Only our third pass at the intro.
Yeah. And I got kicked out for about an hour and a half, but hey. It's Thanksgiving week, and we're feeling thankful.
Yeah.
Alongside the cuz and myself, good friend and co-host, Ryan. How are we feeling?
Pretty good. I just want to say that it's not cool being a jive turkey this close to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like Robbie said, this is Let the Boys Watch. We typically watch movies that one or all of us haven't seen. We usually come up with a theme of some kind and put it up on Instagram for a vote and, you know, get involved. I mean, follow us on Instagram, vote. I think was this week our highest vote total because we shamed everybody.
It was. Yeah. We threw out a meme and shamed all of you. So keep up the good work or you will get shamed again.
That's right. Get that bell, we'll be shaming. So yeah, follow us on there. Was it Let the Boys Watch Pod? I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Send us an email if you want to talk about this movie or any of the other movies we've watched, or give us some suggestions on, you know, themes in the future or specific movies. LTBWpodcast@gmail.com. And Benny, tell them where else they can get involved.
Well, if you're surprised at the fact that Ryan still does not know the Instagram handle or the email address after a year plus of doing this podcast, if
I will never know it.
I refuse. If you go to our YouTube page and follow us and watch the episodes there, you will see them on either side in the corner of the screen. So go to YouTube, follow us, subscribe, click the bell. Come look at our pretty faces. We're releasing this episode nice and early so you can watch it before you go bang your head against the wall during Thanksgiving talking to your crazy uncle. Yeah, follow us on YouTube. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah. Like we said before, this was SNL. It's their 50th anniversary. So we did a couple weeks of SNL, you know, actors that are in movies. And I mean, I was pumped Trading Places one. There was a lot of good choices, though. I would have been happy with any of them, but I think I was the only one that saw Trading Places going into this. Is that correct?
I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it, but I'm sure, you know, somebody will forget the first watch icon on the Instagram page. It's my first.
Why? What did I forget?
Oh, you didn't hear my epic rant on Going Gray podcast?
Not yet. I'm commuting tomorrow, so tomorrow's my Going Gray day.
Oh, it was the Lost Translation.
I thought you saw it.
No, never.
Oh, all right. My bad. I'll send out a mea culpa. Maybe if you get the intro right next week, I'll send one out.
No promises, no guarantees for next week. I might have a, either a turkey bone stuck in my throat or some leftover mac and cheese.
I'm glad I'm gonna get yelled at on my commute to work tomorrow. I can't wait for
Oh, please, and wait till you hear about my facial rant about the YouTube thumbnail. Look out.
that. Oh boy.
So seeing as how both of you haven't seen Trading Places, had you wanted to watch it? You know, what's do you have any history with it whatsoever? Have you heard about it? You know, what why don't you guys start with that and we'll go from there?
Well, I'd like Robbie to go first on this, so it's fresh in my mind that I make the Instagram graphic tomorrow that
Thank
he
you.
did not see this movie yet.
Thank you. Again, it's the same stuff with all these 80 movies. I think I have to kind of, along with all my trauma, I have to blame my parents on and everything. So I think that I will blame them for, not really, making me watch these movies and not being interested. They're not interested in movies, but I don't know. I usually think like movies like this, you get introduced maybe by a parent or something like that, an aunt or an uncle. But it has gone for so long that after a while, I just, I guess, like I said, stubbornness, or I really didn't care to watch it, or I don't know. I really wasn't into a lot of movies growing up and stuff like that. I was into my little niche, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was because I didn't really enjoy Dan Aykroyd that much, and I still loan, so maybe I'm not a big Dan Aykroyd guy. Maybe I was, a little laissez-faire on Eddie Murphy as well. So it never really crossed my mind to watch this or, want to watch it. I never really had anybody kind of hound me and say, "Oh man, you got to watch this," and stuff like that. So yeah, it was never anything. It was just probably just pure stubbornness, just me being me, and that was really it. Yeah.
Kind of similar for me. It's just kind of one of those movies where, yeah, you hear about it, but it's not one of those, oh my God, you haven't seen Trading Places. It's just one of those ones like, oh yeah, no, it's really good, it's really funny. And as the years go by, like just knowing how movies were in the 80s and even the early 90s, when you look back at them, I kind of was like, maybe it's just best that I just don't watch it. I feel like it'll probably not hold up, or it's just not. Comedy's not the same anymore, so I don't know how well this thing is going to look 40 years on at this point. Surprised that it won. I was sitting there watching the results on Instagram like it was November 5th again, trying to do the math in my head, trying to figure out if Tropic Thunder had a path.
Betty polls.
And yeah, at the end of the day, again, the polls were off. I thought it was a no doubt victory for either Tropic Thunder or Happy Gilmore, but in the end, you know, we got to check the voting machines and see how Trading Places won this one.
I can't believe I told Ryan. I said I think it's just a lot of people that we that vote have terrible taste. Really just disgusting taste, embarrassing taste. The fact that Tropic Thunder and or Anchorman didn't even, Anchorman didn't even show up. I don't even know where they went. I think they pulled a Goulet and went to, up to hang out with a little Buck and discuss Goulet Plays the Hits. I don't know. I don't know. It was tough. Anchorman is fantastic. I watched it a couple of years ago and it just holds up. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it wasn't even in the running.
I feel like those three movies, if you're a fan of one, you're definitely a big fan of the other two. So maybe it split the vote a little bit, as opposed to people that are like, no, Trading Places is a classic. So that's the one I'm going to vote for. As I feel like if you didn't have that mindset, you were going to vote for maybe any one of the other three that were up there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like those Happy Gilmore, Anchorman, and Tropic Thunder are probably among some of the favorites of that age range. So it was kind of like pick one, but then a bunch of people were like, oh no, like you said, Trading Places is a classic. That's it. It's the
Yeah.
most different of the three, even though they're not the same. I think that's right. I don't know.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we go to you, Ryan, this is a movie that like maybe I don't hear it enough, but not a lot of the pop culture references from this movie that like, that are like the last thing. The only one that I got was at the end with the looking good Billy Ray. And I was like, oh wow, that's where that's from. I thought it was from something completely different, and it didn't cross my mind that it was something like this at all.
I think I feel like, or at least I thought that this was up there for a lot of people of our age. Maybe it might be a little earlier, like for people that are a little older than us. But I feel like this and like Coming to America, it's both John Landis, both Eddie Murphy. You know, those 80s comedies are kind of like all intertwined for me. But I did see it kind of early. I don't know, sometime in the 90s. I'm not sure. And I would say that I didn't love it at first. I think I was just a little young to like get it. But late 90s, somewhere in there, I saw it and loved it. And I think it's one of my favorite like classic comedies. I don't know why. I'll watch it like if it's on. I mean, I don't watch cable much anymore, but if it's on, I'd watch it. It's one of my favorites. I think I might even, it's tough, but I might prefer this over Coming to America, I think. Like just rewatchability for me, I think I like it better, but I don't know, either way, we're not comparing it to that. Yeah, love this movie. I'm very curious to hear what you guys think seeing it for the first time, you know, in 2024, because I think this film definitely gets the like nostalgia treatment from a lot of people, probably me included, I'm sure. Because, you know, I don't know, is it still funny now for the first time? Is it still like poignant with the, you know, rich versus poor, class warfare, like, you know, racial stereotypes, like all that stuff? There's definitely a few things that I was kind of like, that doesn't really hold up well, but
Just a few.
just a few. So yeah, I'm very curious to see what you guys think, you know, about this movie and what you're gonna score it. So I guess let's get into that. Does anyone want to go first with overall impressions?
I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I liked it. I don't m maybe think that it was as funny as it maybe was in the 80s. I feel like there's definitely some cultural references that, you know, I just don't get. Especially this is like early 80s, so it's not even like late 80s where I, you know, kind of can parse things. But I really kind of, I was like thinking a lot during this movie. I'm like, I wish this movie kind of picked a lane between like a serious movie and a comedy, because I feel like it in a way could have been either, like just changing a couple of things slightly. But again, you know, it's just a different time, and some of those things hit differently. But at the end of the movie, I was satisfied. I thought it was really good. I thought the beginning of it dragged a little bit too long. When I saw that it was 2 hours, I was like, this kind of felt like this was going to be like a 1 hour 20, 1 hour 30 quick comedy. But they set up a lot, maybe a little bit longer than they should have. But at the end of the movie, like I said, it once like the second act kicks in, it really was, I feel like, tight. And I liked everything there. I enjoyed the characters, even though, you know, like you said, there's a lot of like insensitive stuff looking back on it now, but you can't really ding it too much for that. But yeah, at the end of the day, I was happy that we watched it. I was happy that I kind of checked this one off. I feel like this is, you know, like you said, Ryan, it's not, while it's not like the ultimate 80s comedy, it is definitely one of the ones that are held in high regard. And I don't think I would have watched it in any other circumstance besides for the show. So for that reason, I'm kind of glad that we did. For my score, I'm like kind of all over the place as far as like I wanted to give it a score that like maybe gave it the respect that it deserves. But I'm gonna go with kind of gut feel on this one and go 6.8. I just, you know, it just didn't hold up, I feel like, the way I wanted it to. And I think that, like I said, it kind of, for me in 2024, felt like it was caught in between whether it had a serious story to tell or go full on comedy. I kind of wish it picked a lane there. But yeah, I definitely had what you were saying, where there's like, it definitely felt like the thing rang true about the rich versus the poor. And it kind of, you know, it was kind of like, you hate the Duke brothers so much more, you know, thinking about all the stuff that we're going through now. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Robbie, you want to go? You want me to?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I did. There's a lot of cool things about it. Like Benny said, it definitely it was very slow in the beginning, and I was like, oh man, is this really gonna be like this for another hour 45, hour 40. But once Eddie Murphy came on the screen, it just picked up. I mean, charisma, star power, I mean, just, you know, prime. Probably not even his prime, actually. Probably just getting into
This was early,
his,
yeah.
yeah, this is like just SNL, like at the tail end of his SNL career, and just like becoming an absolute movie star. And he has it all in this movie. I mean, he's absolutely hilarious. Much as I hated Dan Aykroyd and no, not a big fan of his, he really played a pretty fantastic part in this movie. I mean, I really enjoyed his part. The Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche, I mean, they were fantastic. I mean, Ralph Bellamy, shout out, one of my favorite movies of all time, Disorderlies, with the Fat Boys. What a fantastic movie with him. But again, like, there was the acting in here was great. Sans some parts, the train part. I'll get into that later. Some of that was kind of annoying to me. I with the gorilla and shit like that. That was like, okay, stupid. But I get it for the time. I'm not gonna ding it. Like Benny said again, there is some insensitive stuff. But I won't ding it for that. I just thought everybody was great in their part. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis, fantastic. What a set of Philadelphia boobs. I mean, get out of here, forget about it, look out. Seat soaked, towel drenched, but it is what it is. I thought it was a really good comedy. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that I enjoyed it way more, not way more, but I enjoyed it more than Coming to America. I really did. I thought Eddie Murphy was phenomenal in this movie, way better in this than Coming to America. I thought Dan Aykroyd was great. So I gave, you know, Coming to America an 8.7, and I think this is better than Coming to America. This is a movie that I would rewatch over and over again. I think more than Coming to America if I had to choose. Really, I was really impressed, and I laughed more in this movie than I did in Coming to America, and that's sh shock for me to say. It really is. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did, and I thought it was a pretty good movie. On you know, the insensitive stuff aside, it made me laugh a lot, and so I'll probably have to give it. I'm going to give it a 9. I'm going to give it a flat 9.
Oh.
That's how much I enjoyed it. I really did. If I gave Coming to America an 8.7, I'd have to give this a 9 because Eddie Murphy was just unreal, unbelievable in this movie. I think this, as I vomit on my screen, I'm sorry. This might be my favorite Eddie Murphy performance, and I'm gonna
Wow.
have to. He made me laugh. I mean, some of the stuff he was doing, we'll get into it later. Jail scene, the first scene you seen with the cops. I mean, just out of this world stuff, funny stuff.
Wow.
Like I said, I really, really like this film. I've watched it a number of times. It's kind of a Christmas movie, sort of. Like
I was going to
I
bring that up later.
yeah, you could make that argument. I know a lot of I read a few countries play it around Christmas time as like kind of a tradition. I
Italy,
wouldn't
shout out to the
say,
motherland.
yeah, the motherland loves it. I wouldn't say that I watch it like a, you know, around Christmas typically, but I definitely probably watch it like at least once a year. I really like it, and like the comparisons to Coming to America again, just Eddie Murphy and John Landis, but I think Coming to America is funnier. But I think this is a better film overall. I didn't. You know, you made a good point, Benny. Like, is this it straddles the line drama and comedy? I think it does it pretty well. And I think a lot of films didn't do that as much as they try to do it now. And I'm kind of saying that just haphazardly without any specific evidence. But like, I feel like back in the day, it was like you were a comedy and it was just how many jokes can we fit into this film? You were a drama, there was no funny parts. Now it's kind of blurred, like even serious dramas will have some comedic elements more so. I think this film did it well. I love a lot of the characters. Yeah, I kind of agree with Robbie here. I'm gonna rate it a little bit higher than my score there and say 9.2.
Wowie, wowie. I'm the outlier today.
Yeah. I'm happy though that you guys liked it. Because I was worried my again, like nostalgia factor was clouding my judgment. Which I think is what happens to a lot of people, but I guess it didn't.
I just think that the beginning like was so slow for me personally that it hurt it a little bit.
Yeah.
But once Dan Aykroyd's the one in the poorhouse, that's when I really think he was like phenomenal. Like he was really good. And like Robbie mentioned, Eddie Murphy was great. I just don't think maybe some of the jokes landed with me as much. But yeah, at the end of the movie, once, and we'll get into the scenes later, but once the end of the movie hit, I was like, all right, that was pretty good. And I
Yeah.
enjoyed it. And I was like, kind of like where Robbie was, like towards the beginning, I was like, I don't know if I have another hour and a half in me at this pace. But once the movie ended, I was like, all right, that was pretty good.
Yeah. I think at least for me on repeat viewings, I agree. I'm sure the first 15, 20 minutes are a little slow, but I feel like I like the beginning because it's like it gives you a good glimpse into how just like soft and entitled and just, everything that Dan Aykroyd was,
Yeah.
and everything else with the Dukes and all that fun stuff. But yeah, I think once the trade kind of happens, or once the bet is made between the Dukes, then it starts to, kick up.
I think that what saves it for me was when everything kind of comes to a head in the office during the Christmas party. And it kind of seemed like that was going to be the end-ish of the movie, but then you get that whole third act of the like the what's the revenge. That's when
Revenge,
I was
yeah.
like, that was like, all right, yeah, this is worth my time.
Yeah. Can't just go around shooting people in the kneecaps with a shotgun because you're mad at Yeah. No, I think again, like I could when I was watching it this time, I was like, ooh, this beginning might be like boring as hell because it's like Dan Aykroyd just farting around and then like Penelope until you see the movie as a whole, you're like, she sucks. Like, what is this lady? What's her deal? And it's just
Yeah.
like, but I feel like at the after watching the whole thing, you're like, all right, so they're just like, I don't know, just entitled rich ass people. And it's kind of funny to watch. Like, I think it's funny now to watch that beginning part, but
Yeah. And the characters like develop too so well throughout the movie. Like, I don't care about what's his name? Carlson, Cleason, whatever his name
Coleman.
was, Coleman. I'm like, I really like they're spending so much time with this guy, but by the end of the movie, I'm like, ah, that's my dude. It's same
Love
with
Coleman, man.
Coleman.
Forget him.
Yeah, same with Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like she's like just this bridge character. And then again, by the end of the movie, you're like, it's so invested in her character. So even those small roles, everybody kind of paid off at the end of the movie.
No, it's a good film. Glad it won. Glad we watched it.
I'm not glad it won, but
Yeah, well, I'm glad it.
Anchorman to win.
Oh, real quick, I was thinking about this because I know you thought we kind of talked a little bit about this the other day. How would you rank these four movies? Because I'll start off. I'll let you guys think. I think I would actually go Trading Places 1, Happy Gilmore 2, Anchorman 3, Tropic Thunder 4. That would be my
Wow.
rank. Yeah.
I would go. I was going to rank them, but then I was invested in your list. I'm going to go Tropic Thunder 1,
Wow.
Anchorman 2, Trading Places 3, Happy Gilmore 4. I'm like, I've seen Happy Gilmore so many times at this point that I'm like completely over it. I was very happy that it didn't win. I was like just not in the mood for it. Like I probably saw that movie a thousand times at this point. Still great, but I'm just completely over it.
I would go Anchorman 1 because of the writing, the acting, the pacing, the performance by Will Ferrell, just unbelievable, better than anybody in the four movies. I will have to go Tropic Thunder 2, just because I think Robert Downey Jr.'s character is just out of this world, fantastic, amazing. For what all the wrong things about it, but just unreal. I'll go Trading Places 3, and I'll go Happy Gilmore 4. I'm not, Happy Gilmore. I can give. I can give and take Adam Sandler. I'm really. I don't think he's anything special. So yeah, he's not really my cup of tea. I mean, I do love Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and stuff like that, but it's whatever. You can get a fucking a schmo to do those parts.
Fair. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I wanted to ask you guys to rank. Hey, send us an email, rank them. Let us know. Yeah, I think I had the most different. You guys were like close-ish. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll do some of these again in a vote, because it's, I know how much you guys like both Tropic Thunder and Anchorman.
Love Tropic Thunder.
I think I've only seen it once.
Oh, you're missing out. That's another one of those movies with like Step Brothers. The first time I watched it, I was like, what is this? And then towards the end, I was like, all right, I guess I get it. And then every rewatch after that, I'm like, this is just an incredible movie.
All right, that's fair. I do like Ben Stiller too, so all right, should we finally get into segments?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do characters first, and then we'll do scenes. Favorite character, who wants to start?
Since you gave it the highest score, why don't you start?
All right. I will go. It's tough, but because obviously there's two mains, but there's a lot of characters I really like. All right, I'll just pick chalk and go Eddie Murphy as Billy Ray Valentine, aka William. Like Robbie said, like I think Benny said, like I said, he's fantastic in this film. He's incredible. You could tell, like, this is early on in his film career. I think I read something that John Landis was like, "Who's Eddie Murphy?" Because, like, I think 48 Hours hadn't come out yet at this point. But you could just, I'm sure, just tell he was going to be a star, and he was. And he was incredible in this film. Love him, but loved a lot of characters in this. So I'm curious what you guys think.
Robbie, go ahead.
Sure. This is a surprise for me. I didn't think that I would be picking this character going into this movie. But again, the Wiz, my Bill was right in his assumption of this character. I'll have to go with Dan Aykroyd as Lewis Winthrop the third. Anybody that's ever had the third at the end of their name in a movie, always a dick. Always a pretentious prick. You know, it's always guaranteed for being a douchebag. But again, like, I know I'm always like heavy with the, falling back on the character development. And even for a comedy, like he starts off as a pretentious asshole, doesn't care about anybody. Then he gets screwed over, and then his character goes off the deep end. He, falls into some depression, some hard times, and then basically it ends with the Santa outfit, the Santa suit, him just like coming off the deep end and then just rebounding. But he played everything so well. He really did. Like I'm shocked about how much I really enjoyed his character and how funny he was. Because again, I'll say it again, not a Dan Aykroyd guy. Probably my least favorite Ghostbuster. But yeah, I don't know. He really surprised me. He really did. And reading up and learning the backstory, like kind of like this, I don't know if this was his breakthrough, but he did fall on some hard times before us. I think John Belushi had just passed, so he was trying to find himself. And then the chemistry with him and Eddie Murphy in this, obviously two SNL guys, but just great, really, really funny. I'm just happy he got his revenge at the end. It was great. I know the Jamaican duty played in the train scene is a little faux pas, but I mean, if I wasn't dying laughing with his accent, I mean, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. I mean, I was dying. He did it. He played it so well. So, don't cancel me, please. Don't come at me. But it's funny. And what's fu it's funny is funny, and I'm not gonna be sorry for that. And that was funny. So yeah, I'll go Dan Aykroyd. Surprise pick for me. I tell you right now, my odds of picking Dan Aykroyd as my favorite character before the movie started, probably 45,000 to 1.
Since I'm going last here, I'm gonna break the rules. We've all done it at least once, but I'm gonna split my vote between Denholm Elliott as Coleman and Jamie Lee Curtis as Ophelia, because I just thought that they were the perfect two to round out that group. And like I said, both of them, I just kind of felt like were throwaway characters. And by the end, you're just rooting for the both of them. Jamie Lee Curtis, I mean, she's always been the best. She's a great actress. I love everything that she's in. She's got such crazy range. I'm guessing this is pretty early on in her career. Maybe
She
like
was in
when was
like some horror movies
Halloween?
prior to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is
That
like
that
a,
was go ahead.
sorry, this was just, yeah, this was like her first, like, not major, but it was all just like horror movies before this.
Yeah, and she's just great. And Coleman, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, it's like wrestling, man. It's still real to me. And like, he just seemed like just this stuck up, tight. He's just this English dude and whatever. He's just kind of character actor filling this role. But when he comes in as the father with that Irish accent, I was loving it. I was like, all right, I'm all about Coleman now. So, yeah, the two of them rounding out the kind of the revenge crew were just the perfect casts.
Yeah, I wanted to take Coleman as my Ani Mensch because from the second that he gets off the phone with one of the Dukes and just says, "What a scumbag," I was like, "Ah, that's my guy." After he has to throw out the crepes,
Yeah.
that Aykroyd's just like, "You have it."
I don't want this shit.
Yeah. Speaking of Ani Menches, anyone have any?
I took
I
two
mean,
already, so you guys please pick.
I it's tough to not c combine the Duke brothers. I
that's
mean,
a, yeah.
yeah, I mean, we could both riff off of that if you want. I'll just go quickly first. I just thought they were great. Scumbags, complete scumbags, but played it so well. Two fantastic actors in the later stages of their careers, but they played those evil, old, rich, fucking racist idiots like just to a perfection. And I enjoy both of them. They were very good. Nice little callback at the end of Coming to America, not at the end, but they were coming to America to see them still. So that was cool. I enjoyed that. Obviously,
Oh yeah, I forgot about that callback.
yeah. So that was fun. And shout out to Don Ameche, who was having a hard time being mean and saying those nasty things that he said while filming that after every take. I think he was apologizing profusely. So shout out to him. And
Oh really? I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, that's what they said. He was like apologizing after every take, every cursing or saying nasty stuff. So yeah, shout out to them. I love both of them. They're fantastic.
Yeah,
Yeah, they were.
apparently that scene where he's just like "fuck him" at the in the on the trading floor, they only could do it once because he's like, "I'm not saying that again."
Yeah, no, I wanted to stay away from them in my Ani mentions just because, like, as crazy as movies are now, you're like, wow, they would never have done that back in the day. Like, dropping a hard R in like a comedy about someone is like, wow, like, thank God we've gone past that. But to know that they're kind of like both sweethearts in real life is nice.
Yeah, he dropped it all right.
Yeah. I picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a
This
dollar.
is also from me as well. This $5 is also from me as well.
Oh, the best. Maybe I'll go see a movie by myself. Fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of like funny, just random minor characters that I like. I'll also call out another asshole, Clarence Beeks. Just what a piece of shit he was in this movie. Like, so like such a piece of shit that like the f when you're first introduced to him, he has to push some guy just down on the ground. Like you couldn't just walk around him. Just fuck you, get out of my way. But just what a scumbag, but such a good piece of shit role.
I know this is going to end up in Robbie's least favorite characters based on what he said earlier, but I've not seen, I don't think anything with Jim Belushi other than like really small clips, but it just kind of stood out to me how much he kind of like pops like on the screen. Like I was like, oh, okay. Like I kind of get why he's like, you know, so many people's favorite. I just those couple scenes that he was in, you could just kind of tell kind of the charisma that he had and why so many people loved him so much, you know, even in just that small role. I just kind of, I don't know,
Are
for some reason he
you
stood
thinking
out.
of John?
Did I say, oh, I said Jim?
No, well, Jim's in it, but are you thinking
Jim's the
people
brother with,
love John?
that's not John?
That's
No, it's
Jim.
Jim.
John passed away. He was in the Blues Brothers with Dan Aykroyd and on SNL. Jim's his brother.
And Jim's in the movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess they
He
both
does
have it.
kind of pop. Like, you're not wrong. I actually thought he was annoying. But I
I don't know,
think
there's just something about him that like, I don't
Yeah.
know what.
Now, people love John. People tolerate Jim, I think.
Yeah, Jim makes
Well,
me want to
Jim's the
pop a
one that
blood
has all
vessel
the
in my brain.
Yeah. Jim has all those bad sitcoms, right?
Yeah, according to Jim.
Yeah. All right. But hey, I mean, I guess he looked enough like him that I confused the two of them. Because I know Jim IRL. You know, I've seen him. But all right. So I mean, I guess take everything back that I just said, but don't, I don't know.
Hey.
It could have been a contender.
I can go. Sorry,
Yeah.
again, quickly, I can go with my main man, Giancarlo Esposito, as cellmate number
Yeah.
two. Please forget about it. Though it was mighty, though it was a small performance, it was mighty. And forget about it. You know how much I love Giancarlo. Please forget about it. Great to see him, young Giancarlo, on screen.
Yeah. I gotta call out someone too. I'm just looking for his name quickly. Hold. Bill
Mo
Cobbs.
Diddley.
Bo did not. Bill Cobbs, the bartender. The second I heard his voice, I was like, I know him. He was in Demolition Man. He was in That Thing You Do. He was in a number of things, and I love him.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
He is very recognizable, but I didn't recognize him as who he was, you know, who he was in this movie.
Yeah, RIP just passed away recently.
Rest in
That
power.
stinks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll go Bo Diddley as the pawnbroker
That
in
was a good scene.
Philadelphia. It's $50.
$50. Last thing that I read, who else was in this movie is a young Edie Falco.
Really?
Yeah,
Really,
he's on the
Edie?
bus. I think when he's eating the salmon like a savage.
Did I? She's there.
Apparently, yeah.
That's funny. Lease.
Least.
All right. This is easy. This is a slam dunk pick. Give me Kristen Holby as Penelope Witherspoon. I
Oh,
mean,
stinks.
just the worst. I
Thanks.
just
Stinks.
everything about her saying the word mumsy. I think she locked up Lee's favorite pick very early on in this film when she called her mom mumsy and talked about her mumsy's Christmas party. So, Penelope, get lost.
I mean,
The outfit was all right.
decent tush.
Hey, listen, there were tushes and T's and A's all over the place in this movie. So she, you know, forgettable
Well,
as far as I'm
T
concerned.
and E. T and E.
T&E. What are we giving Penelope an 80 and Tishamana in the an 80s Tishamana?
You know what? That's a good point. In the if for an 80s scale, I mean, you're looking at easily a 9.3.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree.
Seeing the same thing. I mean, even though Jamie Lee Curtis, I mean, some of the stuff that her touch was like firm and trim and slim. But
Well,
yeah.
she was doing those dance and workout videos with Johnny T.
That's right, I forgot. That's right. Forgot about that movie.
'80s Tosh. I mean, it's like the opposite of inflation. It goes up the longer ago it goes.
Chaos like Reaganomics, trickle down.
Speaking of Reagan, did you notice he was a framed portrait of Reagan was on Duke's desk?
The entire office had like Herbert Hoover and like all like Dwight D. Eisenhower, just every
Yeah.
shitty president.
Funny. Least favorite. I'm gonna go with, I think I'm gonna
That's
same
me,
vein as
slick,
you.
slick,
What?
slick. That's me.
It's like,
You're dead last.
drafting out of order.
You
Oh
drafted
my
out of
God, I'm
order.
sorry. Go
You're
ahead.
snaking. You're snaking and baking. You
Faking.
know, quick, I have to go. John Belushi, rest in peace, as my least favorite. I mean, Jim Belushi.
I hope you know I'm cutting that part out when I talked about
Nope.
it.
I mean, everybody knew what a fantastic character Jim was on SNL. They forget about him. I can't believe he survived that drug overdose. But no, Jim Belushi. I don't like Jim Belushi. I don't. I think he's trying to ride in his brother's coattail. I'm not a big Jim Belushi fan. He popped onto the screen. I saw him. My eyes rolled in the back of my head. I couldn't stand him. I was hoping the real gorilla got his hands on him. Could have did without him. I'm not a fan of Jim Belushi, and I want him out of my movies, and I wish they cut him on the cutting room floor. So, Jim Belushi,
You know
not
what's
to be
funny
confused with
too?
John Belushi.
You know what's funny too? Like, I've seen clips of him in Animal House. I'm like, man, he's like disheveled guy. And so that's when I saw him in this, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I see it. Like, he's, you know, this is when he was kind of clean and on the up and up. Like, he doesn't look so like disheveled. So I was like, all right, I guess I get it why people liked him so much and kind of what he was before, like Animal House and stuff. But it was just all out of whack, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. He was. It was a that whole train scene was kind of corny, but I laughed. He's like, "Hey, look what happened to me!" So stupid. Is it? It's my turn now, right?
No,
You go again.
you are, no. Oh, you can go now.
All right. It's similarly to Benny. I'm gonna go with the annoying rich person, and go with Todd. Because he just is
Oh,
annoying. Just,
I hate
ugh.
Todd's.
It shows incredibly bad taste of you to show up and embarrass us like this.
Ugh.
When
You're so
so,
right, man.
ugh. Singing that
All those
stupid
guys.
frat song, like, get out of here.
Yeah, the frat boys, please.
One of those guys looked like he does music reviews on TikTok in 2024, though. I guess the style's come around a little bit. The guy with the glasses all the way on the left. He definitely looks like he lives in Brooklyn in 2024.
Oh I mean, the last scene of the movie when Dan Aykroyd's got that Argyle sweater with the aviators and the collar, I'm like, man, I want that outfit. Any honorable mentions for least favorite?
I have to go with Mr. Beaks. I really do. I have to. Mr. Beaks stinks. Absolute scumbag, and I couldn't stand him. So I was glad to see him get a little jungle love with the gorilla. That was nice. In a thriller, in Manila. So yeah, Mr. Beaks. Isn't he the principal? And what movie was that? I think Fast Times at no, not Fast. I'm sorry, The Breakfast Club. Okay, I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Wait, I'm looking it up. Yeah, Breakfast Club. Yep.
Mr. Bakes getting slammed between his cheeks.
Yeah. Not a big fan of Breakfast Club, so I forgot.
I never seen it.
It's all right, I guess. Wait, I had a oh, my only mention is whoever was putting cools out on the
Oh,
Persian
please.
market.
How dare they? How dare they?
He took my where you going tonight, Frank Tahiti.
Ah,
I'm
you still do it.
gonna.
All right. Should we move on?
Let's do it.
Least favorite scene.
Who wants to go first?
went first last time.
All right, I'll go first. Give me the only time I felt bad for Dan Aykroyd in the movie pre him getting sorry, him getting trading placed was when he went into the club and he got dismissed by the Dukes after doing all that work for them. That's when I was like, man, this guy, he gives you everything. He's making them so much money and they just like tell him to piss off. I was like, I don't know. It just that was the moment that I really hated the Dukes out of it. Like I was like, all right, I really these guys suck. And I just hated that. I don't know why. It was just the thing that just it pissed me off the most in the movie.
And I think what was funny about that is it was almost like a father figure trying to discipline their son or like teach them something. Because the second he walks away, they like put the paper down and they're like, he's a great guy, isn't he? Yes. Like you couldn't say that to him to his face and then be like, oh, but we're busy. Like I'll see you later.
Have a drink, whatever. They just like kick him out. Come make me sign the paychecks, and they just kicked him out.
I still, that whole scene annoys me because how many paychecks did they even sign? It was like eight checks.
I
That's for like the whole company. Like, get out of here.
know. Least favorite. Who's next?
You want me to go, Robbie? Yeah, you could take the turn.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. I'll go. I think I'll go with the train scene, just like we were just talking about. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like corny. I feel like they could have just like done something much quicker and gotten the briefcase or like whatever. It just seemed so dragged out. And like the whole thing with the New Year's party, like I get it. And plus, it was like, and Beaks gets his by getting plugged in the butt by a gorilla. Like, great. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like it could have been very cut. And if, again, it's a different time, but like Dan Aykroyd didn't need to even be in the car with them because Beaks knew who he was. Whatever. I think they could have probably done that a little better, but I still laughed at parts, but it's unnecessary to me.
They had to get that blackface in. It
I
was the 80s.
guess. I
They had a
don't know.
black
Selassie.
they had a blackface requirement.
Yeah, I guess so.
They needed Jim Belushi in the movie.
And I didn't mind the, Jamie Lee Curtis in the dirndl. That was pretty decent.
Oh, dude, you're gonna say you didn't really mind Dan Aykroyd
No,
blackface.
that's not what
No, I'm saying like I agree between the beginning and the end. This could have been an hour 40 movie and really just crushed it out of the park, but it's still good. I'm just saying you can cut some bits. For me, damn, I mean, Benny took mine. I felt bad for Dan Aykroyd in that scene. I don't know. I'll just go with the scene with the corny white boys singing the little a cappella and Penelope just being a true tramp, money hungry, doesn't care about anybody but herself, and just kind of kind of poo-pooing my man Dan Aykroyd in that fantastic outfit he had on. I mean, I don't care. I mean, and also my least favorite scene for the people in the back that couldn't hit a tennis ball. Disgusting, embarrassing. Get some people I knew what they were doing. Please get, I don't care. Get off the ash back there, somebody, just for a quick cameo. So I'll do that because I hate just a stupid, corny white a cappella band going for, like just stupid Harvard, like Ivy League graduates being corny and just tramps, just after just the money and forgetting, where they came from. So that's my least favorite scene.
Hey, chicks.
Hey, chicks, man, yeah. Chicks,
Chicks.
man.
Chicken
Chicks.
ass.
Be making me sandwich. Make me a sandwich, please. Mortadella.
And that scene also has like, I feel like the dumbest line because it's a reference to a movie from like 1958. She's like, and she stepped on the ball. Like, no one gets that reference, and it's annoying to hear. Cut it.
Yeah, even then, nobody got that reference.
Probably not. Ani Menches?
Not really.
City Philadelphia?
As a whole, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I like Philly.
I used to like Philly, then I saw the Balboa statue and I hated it even more.
True. All right, favorite. Robbie.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. What do I got here? Man, there's so many good scenes. I damn it. I wish I didn't go first. I have to go with Eddie Murphy, fakeness, disability. I mean, what a fucking phenomenal, phenomenal scene. I mean, you get introduced to him quickly, in that one scene, but then he just, pulls out all the stops. I mean, so stupid. So 80s, and I'm still laughing because it's funny 40 years later. It still makes me, I mean, it's not, I haven't seen it, but I'm just saying, like, even in the 80s, like that kind of movie, it's making me laugh. It's just a great slapstick comedy. I mean, just, realizing that he can finally walk, he has legs, he can finally see again, and just and just losing it. I thought it was great. I mean, nobody does it better than Eddie Murphy, and that really finally put some life into the movie because it was grim. Those first 20 minutes, half an hour with that, without him, and just Dan Aykroyd being a pretentious prick. I was like, oh man, where is this movie going? And then Eddie comes on screen and grabs that woman's dress, and the cops come pick him up. He has legs, and he just loses it, and he goes off on a quick tangent and makes me LOL for the next 10 minutes. So I'll do Eddie's fake disability, finally getting his legs and his sight back.
Love it. Yeah, there's a lot of choices. I hate to do it, but it really is my favorite scene, and it's like also so different from the rest of the movie, but it the end, not the end, but the scene on the trading room floor, and just seeing them absolutely smoke the Duke brothers. Duke brothers don't have, which it's funny, I know in the 80s that was tons and tons of money, but like I feel like now 394 million for a peep for people like the Duke brothers probably would be a horrible day but would not ruin them.
Yeah.
But
To get that money in the couch cushions.
yeah, like
Yeah,
oh, 394, all right, well by the end of the week we'll have it for you. But it's just so good, and I like how that also like helps me understand the stock market a little better because it's they sort of explain it but not 100%, and just the chaos and everything that goes on with all the people screaming and yelling, and it's just funny because it's the what people it was just mania back then without computers, just throwing slips of paper at them, screaming at each other. Fantastic. Loved it.
this movie was the first time I actually understood what they were doing,
Right.
like what they're actually doing when they're all yelling like that. Because you always see clips of people like screaming and just holding stuff up in the air. I'm like, what are they even
What
like?
is
What's
going
the
on?
point? What's
Yeah,
the
why are they
point?
yelling?
But that actually kind of broke it down to what they were doing. So I was like, oh, funny and informal, nice.
Yeah. And just them just being like, I win $1, like just right in their fucking face. It's so good.
My favorite scene was, and I don't know if this is two scenes or one. I think it's two scenes, but it's when Ophelia tells Dan Aykroyd like how she's saving all her money and how she's planning to invest it, and then when she's taking care of him when he's sick, and it was like the turning point from her being like this character was just kind of like get him from point A to point B to like someone that you actually cared about in the movie and you wanted to see succeed, and they were developing that relationship together. I really enjoyed her character. I think it's because the role that she was in, I was expecting just to kind of be a throwaway character, and she ended up being a major part of the movie. So I liked watching her character kind of develop there as to not just this what seemed to be like this trashy girl that got used to be a part of his downfall, but to be the smart person and actually end up care they care about each other. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. They definitely take a lot of, like, I guess, I don't know, misconceptions or conceptions of people and how they are based on how they look,
Yeah.
and nature versus nurture. Like, yeah, it's you could really I feel like you could really dive deep into this, but
There's enough serious stuff going on in the world.
don't need that. Any mentions?
I'll go first because I don't think anybody's going to take it, and it's a quick one. I really enjoyed the opening of the movie, like the cuts around Philadelphia with the classic music. I'm like, usually not like that's not, I like a cheap way to start a movie for me, but I don't know. It just felt like it was done really well, and all the different things that they were showing, and then as it went on, cutting between the haves and the have-nots of the city. I really, it was a nice way to set up the movie, and I thought the music just paired with it perfectly.
Yeah. I'll say that even though I felt like it was an extremely quick transition from for Billy Ray to William, that in one evening he turned from, someone who was just recently homeless and just wanted to impress everybody to get the fuck out of my house. I still
Yeah.
really liked that scene a lot. Just the way he just turned and was just like bunch of freeloaders, like keep it down out there. My neighbors are working. But yeah, it was just a fun scene because like, I mean, I'd probably do that shit too. Like if someone gave me a sick house and an $80,000 a year job, which now is like 250, I'd probably be like, let's go. I gotta go out and flash this around.
Yeah, drinks on me.
Yeah, drinks on me. Champagne for everyone.
Yeah, that party seems great. Shout out. Rest in peace to Sylvester. Do you want to funk? I mean, forget about it. What a track. Love that. Yes, I was one of my favorites. I probably have to go with the jail scene. I mean, Eddie Murphy in the jail scene, talking about the Karate Man bleeds on the inside. I mean, I just loved him. Just love him smooth talking. I mean, it's funny.
It's a quarter
Talking
blood
about getting
technique.
talking about getting tear gassed. Things like that. I mean, again, just Eddie Murphy being Eddie Murphy, and another scene that made me LOL because of Eddie and the shit that he was saying. It's a great scene.
I also quickly I love the like once they come together, as like partners now, like let's figure out how to fuck these guys. But for some reason, the way Dan Aykroyd says $1 when you it lives in my brain. Like anytime something costs a dollar, which is like nothing anymore, but anytime I hear a dollar, I just think $1.
Just so incredulous.
Yeah. Just fucked my life up for $1.
Yeah.
Any other Ani mentions? All right. So wait, what's next? Tahiti?
Yeah, it's time to play America's second most popular game, the second most popular new game. It's Waiting on Tonight, Frank, Tahiti, in which we based it off of the scene in Catch Me If You Can, where Christopher Walken says that gem of a line. It's something that's kind of out there in the movie, or something we may have learned, or pop culture reference that we want to shine a little bit of light on. And mine is. Well, I'll let you guys go first. I'll save mine for last or third or whatever.
Rob,
Rob?
go. Oh, no, go.
all right. I'm gonna go with where are you going tonight, Frank? Tahiti. I really don't think that they needed to have the interspecies sexual assault in this movie. It just like It's funny because he is such a piece of shit. Like, yeah, it's funny. I don't know. Just why is it in here? Get out of here.
Yeah, where are you going tonight, Frank
Like,
T?
no one can tell that that's a guy in a suit. Give me a
Yeah,
break.
with the eyes.
Yeah. And like the rubber face. Like, come on. Come
Well, no, it's real. 80s. He's cinematography.
Yeah, costumes were looked realer back then.
Robbie?
All right. Well, where are you going tonight, Frank? Tahiti? Has to be the Duke brothers, just putting their entire operation in the hands of a homeless person, out of nowhere, just for a dollar bet. People like that would never, Rupert Murdoch and family would never, Jeff Bezos and family would never, just for a dollar bet. I mean, people are competitive. I get it. They got the juices flowing. Elon Musk, probably that fucking loser. But, yeah, no. The farthest of fetches. There's no way the Dukes, old curmudgeon, rich white men in their 70s and 80s, would never hand over their company for a dollar bet to one up each other on a homeless man. So yeah, that's my way going tonight, Frank. To Haiti, far fetchedness. The Dukes hiring William, aka Eddie Murphy, Billy Ray. Never in a million years.
Fantastic picks from the both of you. My way going tonight, Frank, Tahiti is cool cigarettes. I mean, come on. I mean,
The best.
what a blast from the past. I mean, I know Newports get all the love around here. Nobody mentions Cools. And when he said, who put the Cool out on my rug? I was like, that is just, oh man, I haven't heard about Cools in a long time. So thank you to this movie for bringing them back into the lexicon of Let the Boys Watch.
Am I allowed to have an Ani Mensch way going tonight, Frank Tahiti?
Of course.
All right, because my Ani Mensch is somewhat similar to what Robbie was saying, and I wanted to mention this earlier. How $150 that like that's what he stole gets you thrown out of work, thrown in prison. I mean, I know they found drugs on him or whatever,
Yeah,
but
it was
then
PCP.
you know what that does to kids? Strip you little shit, or I'll tear you a new asshole. No, but the thing that I thought was so weird about this is so he gets bailed out and then they lock his account and then cut up all his cards. Like, you can't do that.
It's a different time, baby. It was the 80s.
I
80s, you can do whatever you want. Please.
guess.
Free will and deal.
Yeah. I thought that was very odd.
Yeah.
All right, well, if that is the second America's second most favorite game, then America's favorite game these days is working overtime, in which you don't get paid for it according to a recent legislation, but not legislation, court ruling. No, working overtime with Matt Damon because we love Matt Damon for some reason. We cast him in either a role that exists or one that we make up every week. And I'll investigate anyone I fucking want. Patty?
Oof. I almost said, where are you going tonight, Frank TD? My working overtime with Matt Damon this week is a young, handsome, smart, waspy Matt Damon, as all four of the Acapella boys are gone. Okay. And it's just Matt Damon holding court with all four of those ladies. And he's the one, the benefit of Dan Aykroyd's downfall. He's mixing it up. Dan Aykroyd comes in. Dan Aykroyd's like, Penelope, what are you doing? Like, come on, come back to me. Matt Damon pulls him to the side and says, well, you used to have her, but I got her now. How do you like them apples?
I love it.
How do you like them hoagies?
Yeah.
Hoagies.
The best part about that is you wouldn't have to hear when Dan Aykroyd says, "It's not luck, Todd," and that one of those dudes goes, "Oh," like got him.
I mean, the waspy accent in this movie is just so on point with all of them.
All of them. Ooh.
Oh,
Oh,
God.
give me an old, still handsome, still maybe shredded to the gills, as Robbie would say. Matt Damon, gray, nice suit, as the third Duke brother.
Ooh.
What do we got? Randy Mortimer. I'll go with, I don't know.
Montgomery.
Bert, yeah,
Oh.
no. Bert Duke.
Baccarat. Burt Baccarat Duke.
The third.
And he's actually the one, he hates his brothers because they're pieces of shit. He's good. He's a good Duke. And he's the one who actually gets them like the information, and he's like undermining the Dukes as they're trying to do this shit. And is the one who bankrolls, because I'm also a little unsure how they were able to make so much money to get a yacht and be on an island if they only had maybe 200 to 300 thousand to bet. So maybe he bankrolls them and it makes a little more sense.
All right, I like that.
Yeah. Bert Duke.
The inventor of Duke's mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why I hated his guts. Oh, okay. Give me a young, lean, mean party machine. Give me Matt Damon, a young Matt Damon, a shredded Matt Damon, like shredded cheddar cheese on a nice Western omelet. Give me young Matt Damon as Harvey. We get Jim Belushi the fuck out of this movie. We kick him out. We never see him again. No more According to Jim. No Blues Brothers 2000. He's nowhere to be found. He's back, eating donuts in Chicago somewhere, rooting for the Cubs. Please. This movie would have been 14,000 times better. I would have given it a 46 out of 10 if Matt Damon replaced Jim Belushi as Harvey. I mean, forget about it. Matt Damon shredded it in a gorilla costume. Forget about it. My plums, please, through the roof. My boner, right through the sheetrock. So please, give me Matt Damon as Harvey. Replace Jim Belushi, or as some would say, replace John Belushi.
It's been a while since I had a good take that was ridiculed throughout the entire episode.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. Give me Matt Damon as the ghost of John Belushi, who appears in this movie on the train scene, much to Benny's chagrin.
Fantastic. What
Damn it, I should have picked that first.
a Damn. All right. Anything else about Trading Places?
Chalk it up to another one that I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, glad I watched it. And like I said earlier, I mean, it's one that I'm happy that we did for the podcast, because I don't think I ever would have watched it.
Yeah, glad we watched it. Love it. Glad you guys watched it. And I'm glad you guys liked it, So, all right. Well, thanks for hanging with us for however long this ended up being, an hour and change. We appreciate the support. Like we said at the beginning, do all the things, follow us, send us some messages, emails, comments, whatever. We love it. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Don't be a
Have a great
jive turkey.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, be a great, have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So, Robbie, tell them all good night.
Good night to the salmon stuffed in Lewis's Santa costume that made me want to throw up all over my TV screen.
Disgusting.
Yeah.